Welcome back to The Roundtable. I'm Ian Pickus. The guitar virtuoso Scott Sherrard is spending a good bit of time in our region over the next few weeks, and it's a chance to hear one of the best working axemen on the road today. The music director for the Greg Allman Band, which he joined in 2008, Sherrard has also toured and recorded with the Chesterfields and as a solo artist. Right now, he's touring with the Brickyard Band. He'll play the Athens Summer Concert Series in Greene County on Friday, the Madison Theater in Albany on Saturday, and the Falcon in Marlborough, New York, October 14th. With Greg Allman, Sherrard is back in Albany August 24th at the Times Union Center and in Hartford, Connecticut a week later. And Scott Sherrard, welcome to the Roundtable.
Thanks for having me.
Have you ever been to the Madison Theater in Albany before?
No, I've heard some great things about it, though. A friend of mine actually just saw a movie there the other night. He said it's a great space.
The reason I ask is it's an old movie theater, and they've now started doing a lot of other arts there. And I was wondering, what's the strangest venue you've ever played?
The strangest venue I've ever played?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. That is, it seems like it should be an easy question to answer, but, I feel like I've played in just about every setting you can. I mean, I started out playing when I was, playing professional gigs when I was about 12, 13 with my dad doing, like, coffee shops and then nursing homes and public school auditoriums, all-girls dances, and then from there into bars and eventually small theaters and theaters. I don't know, man. I think you got me on that one. I'm going to think about it some more as we talk. Maybe,
okay.
maybe I'll come up with it.
Deal. Your dad was a musician too, right?
Yeah. He still plays. He's in sort of retirement at this point. But he was a professional musician early in his life, and then just for financial reasons and survival, he had to get out of the business in the 70s. So he always played around the house, though, and we always had musicians hanging around and went to a lot of concerts and stuff. And he's a guitar player and singer, just like me. So I definitely, from the earliest age, was dealing with the instrument and singing and playing and writing.
Did you get the business talk from him? You mentioned starting off so young.
I mean, the business talk in my house was probably, I mean, you know, my parents were probably, you could definitely call them stage parents, you know. I think they wanted to raise a musician. So my house was sort of the opposite of every other house. My house was a full immersion in music. And music as a career was like a given in my house. It wasn't something, you know, if anything, I was the one who was thinking of coming up with a plan B, maybe early on, you know. I think my dad ended up, having to do the plan B to survive and support all of us, which he was very successful at. And I'm thankful for that, some of that stability that came out of that. But ultimately, it was kind of a foregone conclusion that I was going to do it, especially when he saw how I was able to take to it quickly and how obsessed I was with it right off the bat.
Well, obviously it worked out, and you don't have to answer this if it's too personal, but did you ever resent being pushed into it like that?
I don't think I had any time for that. music also, I think I could resent maybe being forced into some other type of profession, but with music, I mean, the only thing we get paid for is to travel, and I love to travel, so I feel like I don't even get paid for anything. It's like I basically get paid to do what I love every day. I can, when I'm not home, I can wake up when I want. When I'm home, I'm up with my family and hanging out with them, but I've pretty much got, it gives you full autonomy and creativity. And there are some drawbacks to not being on the schedule the rest of the world is on. But at the end of the day, it's pretty much the only life I know,
Do you still live in Milwaukee?
Oh, no. That's been a long, long time. Let me see. I've lived in New York City for about 19 years, almost 20 years. I left Milwaukee when I was about 19 years old. So that's been long in my past. My family's actually from Michigan, but we moved around a lot starting when I was about 8 years old. Um, And we've, you know, kind of lived all over the place, but ended up in Milwaukee. That's where I went to high school. So I only lived in Milwaukee for about 3 or 4 years, but they were very formidable years. You know, it was my teens and my mid to late teens and, you know, the end of high school. And I went to a high school of the arts there that was really influential on me, and played in blues clubs there and throughout the Midwest with a lot of great, predominantly blues artists from that area. So Milwaukee definitely shaped me. The Milwaukee of the mid to late 1990s, anyway.
How big did the Chicago blues scene and sound loom?
Well, the scene kind of, you know, there was a you know, sort of like, I guess you could call it the second migration. You know, you got people coming from the South to Chicago for work in the, you know, in the 50s, you know, 40s, 50s, 60s, and then I think it seemed like in the 80s and the 90s there was a migration from Chicago to Milwaukee, or the Wisconsin area anyway, because we ended up with guys like Pine Top Perkins and Hubert Sumlin. And then you also had cats like Luther Allison, who lived, I think he lived up in the Madison area, and his band was all from Wisconsin. And there were a bunch of great local guys who were on the Chicago scene, but again, sort of retired to Milwaukee. You had Mel Rhine, the West Montgomery's organ player. You had, who else was there? We had these guys you've never heard of, who you should have, like this cat Stokes, who still plays there, who's, you know, definitely my biggest influence, singing and playing guitar from that era. And I got to work in his band and hang with him. Wonderful singer, guitar player, blues master. And Willie Higgins, who passed away a number of years ago, but I was in his band. And Ron Hill, and all these guys played on the circuit back in the 50s and 60s and 70s. So they played on Chess Records, or played at, you know, Checkerboard Lounge, you know, on a weekly basis, and played in Magic Sam's bands and Little Milton and Howlin' Wolf. And so, you know, they were kind of the sidemen of their time, who a lot of them never got credit, kind of got screwed, or they were just road musicians, as it were. But yeah, I got to learn at all their feet, and even the great Buddy Miles from Jimi Hendrix's Band of Gypsies and Electric Flag and his own great solo work. He was living there at the time I was there, and I even got to play with him for a brief period of time as well.
How did you figure out what you wanted your sound to be?
Well, I always knew it was going to be sort of a Cuisinart of, you know, throwing everything in there and seeing what came out. And to be honest with you, man, going back to the earliest rock records that really captured me, once I got, you know, I was lucky that the first things that really captured me were Chuck Berry and Jimmy Reed. Those were the things that made me want to play the guitar and play music, and they were the first things I learned on the guitar. It was a 12-bar Jimmy Reed blues and Chuck Berry song forms and soloing. So I was able to play that stuff before I could even tell you what the names of the chords were or what I was doing or what the scales were or anything. But the second stage after that for me was getting into, honestly, was the Allman Brothers, you know, and that's the irony of the gig I have now. And the great thing about it for me that kind of comes full circle is when I heard the Allman Brothers, I suddenly heard all this different music that was being played in my house and that I heard on the radio, because you could actually still listen to the radio then. This would have been the 80s. And someone like Prince also was another one, you know, in my earliest years. I think that was the first cassette I ever bought, and picked out on my own when I was very young, was, Purple Rain. And, you know, I'd say it was, it seems like an odd combination when I say it out loud, but honestly, that's how music sounds in my brain. It's kind of like Prince and the Allman Brothers were the first people first music I heard where I was like, oh, wow, you can, you know, jazz, blues, folk, country, pop, you know, all this stuff exists in one genre, and it's really this type of rock and roll. For me, that's how I make music. Blues is where it starts. Blues is home. And from there, it can go wherever the music takes you. We'll be right back.
So how did you get hooked up with Greg Allman? I read that you kind of walked on stage to sit in, and next thing you know, you're in the group.
Well, I wish it was that simple. it took 2 years to get me into his band. My buddy Jay Collins was still in the band, of course, but he was trying for a long time to get me into the group, and it took a couple of years, and they really wanted to make a change and get somebody new who's a little more blues and soul oriented as a musician. And that's, as I said before, it's the cornerstone. That's the wheelhouse for me, where it all begins. And I think for Greg, that's where everything begins. And anyway, after 2 years of missed chances of sitting in and trying to get it to happen, there was a gig that the Allman Brothers had in Camden. And the day of the gig, Jay called me up and said, "I'm bringing you to this gig to sit in with Greg. This is going to be your audition." And it was the first time I met Greg or Warren, Derek, J-Mo, Butch, Mark, everybody, O'Teal. So they were all there, and they were all lovely, and everyone was really cool. And I met Greg, and the first thing he said to me was, "Nice to meet you, and do you know all those Wayne Bennett licks from those Bobby Bland records?" And in that moment, I said, thank God I was raised in an environment where I know all these Bobby Bland records. But of course, the irony is, I think a lot of people think very single-mindedly about rock and roll. You know, it's like they think, well, if I want to get a rock and roll gig, I'll know all these rock records. It's, the thing that got me the Greg Allman gig was knowing Bobby Bland records.
And your role as musical director, how does that work in the band?
It's a pretty interesting chair, as it were. I think it's a little more intense. I mean, I've always thought of, the musical legacy of Greg. It obviously begins with the Allman Brothers when he was 19 or 20 years old, or however old he was when he joined the group. So Dwayne was the band leader of the Allman Brothers. He put the band together, and he was their MD, as it were. Dwayne also was a, from all accounts of the people I've spoken to about him, which is obviously a lot with Greg and his buddy Chank, who tours with us, who's his lifelong friend and was one of Dwayne's best friends, but also speaking with J-Mo too a little bit about it. Those guys were, obviously Greg, it was his brother, but also he was his mentor, I think, in a lot of ways. And obviously musically being the one that benefited all of us the most. But I think that Dwayne really pushed those guys, not just musically, but also like spiritually, mentally, as men. He pushed all of them, and he pushed them with his vision. And I think that's been sort of a key component throughout Greg's life, as having collaborative figures around him. And it's been an absolute honor to be in a position where I can be collaborative with him. And we've written a couple songs together, one of which is going to be on our new record that's coming out in January. He's been covering one of my songs for a long time. It was actually on his last live album, and it's going to be on the next studio album. We did a studio version of it called Love Like Kerosene. I think he also, because of that association with his brother being a guitar player, and because Greg's a guitar player as well, I think he relates well to having someone in a directing position who plays guitar. And of course, I'm also a vocalist and songwriter, so he relates, we relate to each other on that level as well.
Just by coincidence, Scott, because it's summertime and, where the station is, we've had Wayne and Derek on the show within the last few weeks. And I don't know really how to ask it, but is there peace in the valley right now, in terms of the hiatus the Allman Brothers band is on, and you being out with Greg and all that?
Well, yeah, I mean, we were just hanging out with Tedeschi Trucks band the other night. We had a day off in, where were we? We were in Charlotte, and we had a day off, and we ended up hanging out with those guys at their gig, and Los Lobos and North Mississippi All-Stars, all of whom are friends of ours. And Greg came and sat in with the band, and I think that we've got some gigs coming up where Warren's going to be around, and he always comes and sits in. And I think we've got Mark Quinones in our band, in the Greg Allman band, who of course was also the percussionist and band member of the Allman Brothers for 25 years. It's one big family, man. J-Mo plays gigs with us all the time, where his band will play before us, and then he'll sit in with us, and we love all the guys in his band. So there's no animosity whatsoever between people as musicians, and that's the beauty of the Allman Brothers organization and what Duane started was it's all about the music with this group and with the whole family of bands. It's all about the music, and that's how I was raised, and I saw countless Allman Brothers shows and practiced with their records as much as I did with any Johnny Guitar Watson or Buddy Guy records or anything else that I was obsessed with.
Does it surprise you to see this sort of resurgence happening on the blues scene? It's been evident this summer for sure.
Yeah, it's coming back, man. It's blues. The blues has always been a cycle. We saw it in the 80s. I mean, I was raised with VH1 and MTV, and obviously predominantly VH1. So in the 80s, when I was a little kid, I would see Bonnie Raitt, Robert Cray, Stevie Ray Vaughan, all those artists, Jeff Beck. They all had videos that were in heavy rotation on VH1. I mean, there's a lot of really exciting stuff going on with music, and I've even noticed it at my shows because, I mean, you know, I remember 10, 15 years ago playing this kind of music in New York, and, you know, it was crickets. And now it's like, you know, we have 150, 200 people show up every time we play.
Scott Sherrard will be at the Athens Summer Concert Series in Greene County on Friday, at the Madison Theater in Albany on Saturday, and at the Falcon in Marlborough, New York, October 14th. And with Greg Allman, he'll be back in Albany August 24th at the Times Union Center and in Hartford, Connecticut a week later. Scott Sherrard, thank you so much for spending all this time with us.
It was a pleasure, man. It was a great interview. Thanks for having me.
And you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.